Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am on the line today with Jeb Banner. Jeb is the CEO of a company called Boardable. Is that correct, Jeb?
That's right.
What is Boardable?
Boardable is nonprofit meeting software with a focus on the board meeting. So we really work with a lot of nonprofits around the world and help their boards have better meetings.
How do you do that with remote software?
That's a great question. So we integrate with Zoom and all the other common tools. We're also right now beta testing our own video conferencing tool. So we are looking to launch that here in terms of generally available release in the next month or so. And we've got about 40 customers currently testing that. But beyond that, we're centralizing all of the documents, conversations, attendance records, agenda, minutes, everything that you can think about with a meeting, especially a board meeting, is within Boardable. And then that also flows through to apps and then out to email and calendar, integrating into calendars to populate meetings. So we're really automating and centralizing all of the logistical side of a board meeting and then also staff meetings as well.
So it sounds like, okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, there you work in conjunction with existing video conferencing platforms, although it sounds like you're building your own.
Correct. So we're building our own because we feel like the tools out there, Zoom, which is a great tool, it doesn't actually have an integrated experience. So when you're in Zoom, you have to go back and reference all the documents, often sent via email with most boards. We call it digital duct tape. You're getting emails, you're getting a calendar invite, maybe a doodle poll to find a time. You don't have an integrated experience. And so what we're launching is actually a fully integrated experience where you have the agenda, the documents, any sort of chat conversations, along with the shared screen and everyone else's videos if they have video turned on and, of course, audio. So we're really trying to build a virtual boardroom, if you will, for the nonprofit to come together and have a shared experience versus Zoom, where you're still having to jump in and out of things quite a bit.
Right, because in Zoom, I would still need to turn somewhere to go get my documents or to look at a schedule or to,
That's right.
So now I would have a dedicated space that belongs to my board and everything is just right there, including the video conferencing piece.
You got it.
I get it. Cool. Why is this important to boards? Why? I mean, I'm going to be snarky and ask why. Sure. Why can't they just use Zoom? And
they can use Zoom. Yeah. But they're going to pay for it. It's going to cost money. And so we're looking to give them a solution, which we launched e-signatures recently. So you don't have to use DocuSign or HelloSign. We've got a great cloud storage system, our document center. So you don't have to use a Dropbox, Google Drive. And with the launch of Boardable Video, you don't have to use Zoom or similar tools. And they cost money. And we're looking for nonprofits to be able to consolidate all these into one platform, have them all integrated together. So you're not jumping in and out. Again, that's a digital duct tape that we see so many nonprofits struggle with. And instead of having all these different subscriptions and platforms, you have one that pulls them all together. On top of that, we have discussions, we have group functionality for committees, we have task management, we have goal setting, we have reporting tools, we have a lot of good tools around communications as well, in terms of like email blast tools within Boardable. So you've really got a suite of tools to run your organization, both the board and staff, with Boardable. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to pay for all these other ones. A lot of times you'll end up having organizations with 5, 6, 7, 8 Zoom licenses. It gets expensive.
Sure. In the notes that you sent, you talked briefly about attention versus awareness and how these both remain challenges for communication. Can we talk some more about that, how it impacts nonprofit organizations?
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about being in a board meeting, physically present in a board meeting, you're immersed in that experience and you're absorbing everything in the room, the body language of the other people there. Human beings are really wired for that kind of immersive experience. When you're on a Zoom call or a virtual call, you're really having to use just your attention muscle. So your attention muscle is very weak. We all know that we all struggle with attention, you know, increasingly so. Our awareness muscle is very strong. It's the thing that we use constantly, and so much input can come in and be processed really at a subconscious level. So as we sit in front of a computer all day and as we attend these meetings virtually, we're using that attention muscle and it's getting fatigued. And so it's harder and harder for people to really be present in conversations. And in a board meeting, that's particularly difficult because they're not necessarily talking a lot. They're consuming a lot of information. They're listening. And it's very easy to drift away and to not pay attention. And what happens because of the fact that everything's becoming virtual is I think people are not as engaged as they were before when they were physically present. And that's leading to potentially the other side of it would be poor governance. And that's something that we're very concerned about. And so we want to help our nonprofits create more engaging meetings virtually, as well as, of course, in person when we get back to that. I think that that pull between attention and awareness is a real challenge right now because people are just burned out. They're using their attention muscle all day long and they're just burned out.
Right. I can imagine that it's as a person who is a severe extrovert, I kind of relish those moments where I get to interact online with people virtually. But clearly not everyone can claim the same thing that I can claim in terms of it helps. There was a point to that, and of course,
you're right.
My mind. Yeah,
you're right, Mickey. I mean, it does help to connect online, and I think that one of the things that we encourage both within our own team and something I think would be good for nonprofits is get smaller. When you have a board meeting with 20 people, it's very easy for people to get lost in that. How can you make sure that you're connecting more one-on-one, smaller groups, having breakout rooms so that you can, have those smaller interactive conversations where everybody gets to talk, which is one of the, we do a lot of webinars and eBooks around virtual meetings as a lot of folks are now. But one of the things that we've seen work is make sure everybody gets a chance to talk, because like you said, you're an extrovert, you want to have a chance to talk. And so often in a board meeting, when it's virtual, people will go the whole meeting without ever saying a word. That's not a very meaningful experience. They don't feel like they've contributed or that they're valued. So making sure that you really schedule that in. And we do something in our team. We do like a one-word check-in or a three-word check-in. And that's often more like a couple sentences where everybody in the company gets to share, how are you doing? What's going on? Little things like that just get people talking.
Absolutely. And I imagine there are many other tips you can share in terms of how to manage teams while doing the remote thing and how to make those meetings a little more productive, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's a combination of tools and technique. You have to be much more intentional going into a virtual meeting than you were previously going into an in-person meeting, where, again, you had the benefit of everyone being in the room. You could read the energy. You can make sure that people were engaged. There's things like whiteboards, that you can physically work with, sticky notes, et cetera. When you're doing a virtual meeting, we did a virtual offsite recently. And we really had to spend a lot of time designing that experience. So there's a lot more intentionality that needs to go into building out a virtual experience like that. It's not the same thing. I think that this is something that a lot of nonprofits struggle with, is that they've continued forward with their board meetings and committee meetings as if they were the same before. They're not the same. You really have to think differently about this. Again, I think you need to make sure that people are talking. You need to make sure that there's points of conversation. You have to wait longer, for instance, for people to jump in. That's something we've seen with a lot of virtual meetings, is that when you ask for feedback, normally in person, you can wait a couple seconds and move on. Online, you might need to wait 10 seconds or more, because people are just more hesitant because of the delay. There's sort of an uncanny valley, if you're familiar with that term, with the Zoom digital experience, especially with video. People sit back and they wait a little bit longer. They're not quite comfortable. It's not fully a human experience.
I'm actually not familiar with that term, uncanny valley.
Yeah, it's the gap between where it's like a term around a robot often, where they aren't quite human and they aren't quite robotic. If you think about like Blade Runner or something like that, you know, I think that you have an uncanny valley. It's just you get this sense of something's not right. And a lot of times when you're on a Zoom call with a group of people, and you know, no matter what platform, there's often delays, and it's hard to really read the room, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, things just don't feel quite right, and that that creates a hesitancy in a lot of the folks on the call.
I was just remembering yesterday in the episode that we recorded yesterday, that when I was speaking with one of the execs here for the local Boys and Girls Clubs, that they had their first remote meeting as pandemic started to unfold, and it just didn't feel right. People were just kind of stiff, and they said, stop. Okay, stop. Let's just talk to each other for a second. And
yeah.
And that helped bring the humanity back into the equation.
We did that recently at a team meeting. Instead of a one-word check-in, we did a one-paragraph check-in. And I just like, you know what? We're going to spend most of this hour just talking, just sharing what's going on in our lives. Because, you know, so often our communication on these digital platforms is very, very much like, all right, the project management level of like, this needs to get done. And all right, well, you need to know about this and things like that. And we're missing all those in-between spaces that when you think about going to an in-person meeting, you have that time before where you're socializing and networking, and you have that time afterwards and during a break, and maybe even at the table when you should be listening or talking, you know, that's all lost right now. So you have to, that's what I was meaning about being intentional about the design. You need to design that back into the experience and not just go into the agenda as if it was an in-person meeting. You need to pull back and think about, how do we really get people engaged and connected with each other and with what we're saying? It's not the same experience as before. Let's be intentional.
Right. Looking at the last line of our notes here, can you explain your own experiences or give us some examples of your own experiences doing this as a board member or as CEO of Boardable?
Yeah. So I've got kind of a interesting past when it comes to nonprofits and boards. I've founded two nonprofits in Indianapolis, co-founded one and founded the other, and served as a board chair of both. And this was all before Boardable. So I was chairing these organizations, both one was focused on music and one on the entrepreneurial community. And both of them were very grassroots. I'm no longer on either board. I was able to move on and graduate, which is always a good feeling as a nonprofit founder. And my experience of running those organizations as a chair is part of what informed Boardable. I saw the digital duct tape and the chaos. And at one point I couldn't find the bylaws. It was in somebody's email inbox. You know, it was just a mess. And you know, one of the things that I've gone forward with is, you know, now I'm chairing a small nonprofit. I'm on the executive committee and board for our local United Way, along with being on Boardable's board. There are no two boards that are the same. They are all different. Each has its own personality, and they change over time. There's a big, big difference in my experience before between a for-profit board and a nonprofit board. And that for-profit board with Boardable is very focused. They're really diving in. They're invested in a way that I've never seen in a nonprofit board. A nonprofit board, even though they're fiduciarily responsible for the organization, they typically are not as engaged. They show up, they don't feel it the same way a for-profit board feels it. And that's a real struggle to get your board members to feel the urgency of the organization's challenges and opportunities and to really be present there in the meeting. And I think that now that we've moved into virtual meetings and I'm chairing again and then attending others, it's challenging. It really is, especially as you get into that 10 plus number of people to make it feel like there's a shared experience. And I don't know the magic solution. Obviously, we're trying to solve for it with Boardable a little bit. But, you know, it comes back to just making sure that you're designing the experience with all that in mind. It's tricky.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. We are rapidly running out of time, and I'm sad to say that. But if a listener wanted to be in contact with you and to learn more about Boardable, how would they do that?
They can go to boardable.com. We've got a free trial. We're actually offering a 90-day free trial for any nonprofit right now that's interested in using the product free of charge. We just really want to be there for the nonprofit sector. We're purpose-built for nonprofits. Personally, you can find me at Jeb Banner, J-E-B-B-A-N-N-E-R, Jeb Banner on Twitter, LinkedIn, pretty much anywhere on the internet, and jebbanner.com as well. And then just jeb@boardable.com is my email address.
Great. Thank you, Jeb. I'm crawling through the website right now. You've got a lot of information there. It sounds like a pretty exciting offering, I must say. And I wish you tons of success with the endeavor. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining me for this episode.
I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, you bet. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. This has been the Nonprofit Snapcast, a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. We'll see you again with another episode in a few days. Thanks and be safe.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.